everybody, and welcome to our first episode of Dark Obsessions True Crime Podcast. I'm Carissa.
I'm Ashley.
And we will be your hosts, bringing you an episode each week. One week, I'll do an episode.
And the next week, I'll be doing an episode.
So you get the best of both of us. So, Ashley, it's been a while.
It's been about 2 years or more.
Yes, and we're finally doing it.
We are.
So that's a good thing.
Very excited.
I'm excited too. This week, I'm going to talk about a Brian Schaefer. A girl at work, when I told her we was going to do a podcast, she referred this case to me. And she's like, you should really look into it. And when I started looking into it, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Because there's not a lot out there on it, but there's a lot of theories on what happened to him. Also seemed fitting because Brian would be 45 on the 25th of this month.
So
he's been missing since April of 2006, so quite a while. So let's talk about Brian.
What's about Brian?
By all accounts, Brian was pretty successful, good-looking young man. He's just starting out his life, and he still had his whole life ahead of him. He was born on February 25th, 1979, in Pinkerington. I don't know how to pronounce that. I can't do it all together. Pinkerington, Ohio.
Now should probably be the point where we put a side note on, we do take constructive criticism, and if anybody knows how to spell it or can help us know how to say it, then that would be very helpful, and we'll take criticism and all things.
Yes, just be nice.
Please be nice.
So, Pinkerton, Ohio, is a suburb outside of Columbus, Ohio, which isn't far from us. It's just the next state over. So, anyways, his parents were Randy and Renee Schaefer, and he had one younger brother named Derek. Brian graduated high school in 1997, and after graduation, he went to college at Ohio State University for his undergraduate degree in microbiology. In 2004, he then started at OSU College of Medicine to be a doctor. So, in March of 2006, which is about 2 years after he started medicine school, his mother passed away of some type of bone cancer.
Mm.
So, I'm sure that looked pretty difficult. I'm sure he had a hard time with that.
Any parent loss is very hard. I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah, it is very hard. Brian also enjoyed music. It was noted all over the internet, basically, that he wanted to start a band, and he even enjoyed Pearl Jam so much that he got the stick man on his upper right arm. Do you know what that is?
I do not know what that is.
I don't either.
I'm not sure what Pearl Jam or anything is.
Pearl Jam is a band, and Stick Man is, I believe, a symbol of them. So all you Pearl Jam people out there, you know what we're talking about. But don't hate on us, because we do not know what we're talking about.
If you want to, then share the hype. Go to our website at dark-obsessions.com.
And our Facebook page, and share the Stick Man. Or also, any excitement for Pearl Jam.
If you go to our website and you see that it says that this is not a sex site, then that has a reason behind it. And the reason is?
Because we decided we was going to name our podcast Dark Obsessions. We needed a website. So we went and couldn't figure out why we could not do darkobsessions.com or dark obsession without the S at the end. And when we both looked it up at the same time,
we found that it was an exotic sex website.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't really show anything, but it definitely had the words of it all. And we were like, we looked at each other at the same time. We were like, what in the world?
So we went with dark-obsessions with an S at the end. So, full disclosure. Okay, so March 31st of 2006, Brian was beginning his spring break. He'd been studying pretty hard. He was ready for spring break. He had a girlfriend named Alexis Wagner. They was planning on going on spring break trip to Miami that coming Monday. So it was the beginning of the weekend, starting off exciting. That day, he went to eat at Outback Steakhouse for dinner with his dad.
Yummy.
Yummy. And his dad had noted that he looked really tired. And he told him, you know, you look really tired. You probably shouldn't go out drinking tonight with your friend. And he's like, I'm an adult. I can do what I want.
I don't need your opinion. Yeah.
That's right. So, typical young adult. Right. Their parents.
Yeah. But out of my business. I'm free.
So, he met up with his friend, William Clint Florence. From now on, I'm going to refer to him as Clint. So, he met up with his friend later that night to have a few drinks and let some steam off from the studies at school. Like I said, his girlfriend was Alexa Wagner. They was planning the trip to Miami. She's also a second-year medical student. So, it was noted a couple places that people close to Brian said that he was going to propose to her on that trip.
Aww.
But I guess we don't know. So, okay. So, Clint and Brian go down to the Ugly Tuna Saluna, which is a college hangout bar on a second level of a building. So, I could go so off tangent for the Ugly Tuna Saluna, but we will just keep it normal. But I cannot help but laugh every time I say Ugly Tuna Saluna. And side note, I believe they closed down like in 2018, but then they have another new one that's Ugly Tuna Saluna 2.
Ugly Tuna Saluna 2.0. I wonder if it's as ugly and tuna-y.
I don't know, but if you go on their website, they've got like, you can see their drinks and stuff, and they've got like really cool looking drinks on their website. So,
oh, really?
Yep. So that's kind of neat. So maybe we'll go to Columbus one day and just go to the Ugly Tuna Saloon.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll, you and Dad can do that. I'll just, you know, me and yeah. Devin and the kids will hang out.
Me and Dad go to a college bar.
That's so funny.
We rocking it. Oh, yeah.
Half the time you'd think that they would be insulting you with their language like you did that one gentleman at the drive-thru. Say less. Did you just tell me to shut up?
Let's not go to that because he told me to shut up.
No, he didn't. That's not what it is.
When somebody says, say less, no, that's telling me to shut up.
No, you're showing your age, Mom. You're showing your age.
I am showing my age. But that's okay. So, Brian, Clint, let's go back. They went to the Ugly Tuna Saluna. They had a few shots, some beers. And then they ended up going to a few bars down in the Arena District and the Short North District. While they was in that area, then they met up with one of Clint's friends named Meredith Reed. And she offered them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Saluna.
Yeah, I figured if I say it like that, I wouldn't laugh. So, anyway. It is noted that at 10 p.m., Brian called his girlfriend just to confirm their trip and that they would meet at the airport on Monday.
I think that's so sweet that he checked in with her.
Yeah. So, Alexis was not on this trip or out with them at the bar this weekend because that weekend she, I should have said this earlier, but that weekend she went to Toledo, Ohio to spend time with her family. Mm-hmm. So while she was in Toledo, Brian's just going to take off some steam, and they decided they'd just meet up at the airport on Monday.
Right.
To go to Miami.
Miami. Party.
Yes. So coming back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Security footage from the Ugly Tuna Saluna that night showed
you're just wanting to say it.
I know,
so
I
much.
Do.
You're saying it every chance you can get. Take a drink every time she says Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Where's the line? So security footage shows that Brian, Clint, and Meredith was riding up the escalator around 1:15 a.m. So it was noted that Clint and Meredith kind of lost Brian at around 11:30, so a little bit after they arrived. And it was also said that Clint and Brian had like a verbal altercation. Not sure what it was about or anything, but side note. Security footage also shows that at 2 a.m., Brian is seen outside chatting with two women, and then he returned back going into the bar.
How big is the Early Tuna Saluna?
I don't know. How big?
Yeah, like, is it more of a bigger bar, or is it a smaller bar? Do you know?
I don't know, but no, I have no clue.
Is why I'm asking is to see how easy it would have been for them to lose them for that long.
I don't know. I don't know if they just had the verbal altercation and Brian just went off to do his own thing with Meredith and Clint doing their own thing. I'm not sure. I figure with a college bar, I'm thinking of like downtown indie bars. They're pretty packed on the weekends. So,
yeah.
I mean, you've got them standing outside, so. But I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
So, after that 2 a.m. sighting, then no one ever saw him again. He's not on any video footage. They couldn't find him on the cameras where he left the bar that night.
You're kidding.
No. So, Clint and Meredith waited for him after the bar closed. And he never showed up. So they just kind of assumed he went home without him.
Never assume.
Never assume. And never leave the bar without your buddy.
Right. I wouldn't even want to go to the restroom without a buddy whenever I be out.
Yeah. Just
maybe I'm just too anxious.
Stay together.
Or maybe it's a girl thing.
No, I was going to say it is two guys. But still, stay together. So crime has no gender. It can happen to men. And women. So, anyways, Clint and Meredith both tried calling Brian, but they couldn't reach him. So, like I said, they just ended up going home, thinking he just went on home without him, which, who knows. Alexa and his friends, and as well as his dad, had tried to call him the next day as well, and they didn't get an answer. Well, they just assumed, okay, he's sleeping it off. You know, he was drinking. So, he's just sleeping it off.
Right.
Come Monday morning, I don't know if it was morning or not, but come Monday, April 3rd, Alexa's at the airport waiting on Brian to show up, patiently waiting, never shows up. Time to get on the plane, gets on, and she ends up calling Brian's dad saying, hey, never showed up for the plane to Miami. And he's still not answering his calls. Something's wrong. So Brian's dad filed a missing persons report on that day. But the investigation part of it, the police, I guess, searched the bar, the areas around, looked at all the security camera that they had, and they never saw Brian leave the bar. So the only other way out of that bar is a fire escape, /back door, but it led to a mess of a construction site. So why would he be leaving that way? It makes you wonder.
I don't know.
Strange. Friends and family were questioned, and everyone took a lie detector test except for Clint, and he refused to take a lie detector. So the two women he was chatting with was never asked to take a lie detector test, so I guess he was just chatting. So Alexa had called his phone every day, but it went straight to voicemail until one night in September Now, this happened in April, and then one night in September, the phone finally rang three times.
Ooh.
Yeah, but no one answered. So I'm sure she's like, yes, you know, he's turned his phone on or something. You know,
right,
some
very
kind of
excited, like he's still alive.
Yeah. They checked with the phone company, but the phone company said it could have been due to a computer glitch, which was kind of devastating.
Oh, yeah, that would be like a heartbreak all over again.
Yes. His phone was not GPS enabled, so its location could not be determined, but it was noted that there was a ping from his cell phone that was detected at a cell tower 15 miles northwest of Columbus.
When was that detected?
I'm not sure.
Did they ever search that area?
I'm not sure, but I don't think anything came of it. So, there's so many theories going on with this case that it's got a lot of people baffled. And the police are even baffled because I think the biggest thing is they see him go in, but nobody sees him go out.
Right.
So, let's talk about some of these theories.
Okay, what are the theories?
So, first of all, although it is possible the cameras did not see Brian leave, they did have one camera that panned continuously, and then another one that was manually operated. So, they could have missed him leaving, but it's not as likely because they saw him going both times, but possibility.
Okay.
So one of the possibilities, and I believe what the police are sticking with, is that he left on his own, disguised, because he wanted to disappear on his own. So,
and that's what the police believe?
I think that's what they're leaning to, yes. But the family does not believe that that's the case. And they do not believe that he would do that. So
yeah, if he was planning on engaging to somebody, it doesn't really, it seems less likely.
Yeah. And then another one is that he went out that back door. Mm-hmm. And when you go out that back door, it was like crazy construction. So some people say he went out that back door and fell in a hole.
Right.
Well, my thing is, if you went out the back door and fell in a hole, why wouldn't the construction people see you? But never know.
Yeah, I'm sure it could. It's less likely, but I'm sure it could happen if they're just not really paying attention that day, I guess.
Yeah. So that's another theory. Another theory is that he that something happened inside the bar and the bar covered it up.
Maybe that's why it closed down in 2018. Just stacking up bodies.
Sorry, ugly tuna, Selena.
No offense. It's just, you know.
So.
You can't be stacking up bodies, man.
Right. So, that's another theory. I've seen somewhere online where it was said that one of the band members put him in a suitcase and he went out that way. I've seen things of he was trying to score cocaine by them two ladies, ended up going to the band people to try and store cocaine. People saw money on him and jumped him, but that would have had to been out the back door and then in an alley, which I don't know. A few things. Are you ready for these creepy things?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So, you're going to admit. September of 2008, his dad passed away. There was a heavy windstorm, and he was in his yard cleaning up debris when a branch flew from a nearby tree and struck him and fatally killed him. So his obituary ran, and you know how when you have an obituary online, there's a section in there for people to write their condolences. So somebody had posted in there, "To Dad, love Brian, U.S. Virgin Islands."
What?
Yeah. So that kind of got people's hopes up.
Yes.
But the police investigated it, and they had stated that it came somewhere from Franklin County at a public accessible computer. So they deemed it a hoax.
So why do you think that they would deem it a hoax?
Because for one, it wasn't from the Virgin Islands, I would say. And another, they may have had like video or something in that area. I don't know how they deem it a hoax, but
right.
Sometimes you wish you knew everything the police knew, but we just don't.
Right. Unfortunately. Did they ever question the friend or the Meredith woman?
They did question him, but like I said, Clint refused to take a lie detector test, and he did, you know, tell them about the night. So they went out to drink at the Ugly Tuna Saloon, and then they went to the other areas and then back, and then that he didn't see him. But he's never said anything else since then.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me not really getting out too much, but I just don't think that I would be spending from 11 o'clock or before until 2 o'clock without my buddy that I went to a bar with.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think that's one thing about this case is there's so many theories, but it's so interesting because there's so many possibilities.
Right. And so many people that were there and that don't know anything.
Yeah. Because you would think a college bar is pretty packed.
Right.
So somebody had to have seen him. Somebody had to have known something.
Right.
And I honestly think Clint knows more than what he's saying.
You do?
And I think that Meredith knows more than what she's saying. But they've never been, I mean, full disclosure, they've never been named a suspect or anything else. And I'm not saying they had anything to do with it. I'm just saying that there may be more. Whether it Clint knew he was going to disappear and helped him and is keeping that, or something else sinister happened. I think somebody has to know something.
Right.
So a person just don't go into a bar and then just disappear in thin air. I mean, it's just not possible. Anyways.
Where are all the cameras?
They've got the camera going in to the escalator.
Right. I remember that one.
And that, I believe, is the only camera. But I'm sure police, if there was any camera, like, on the outside or anything like that, they would have, they would have reviewed that.
Right.
If it was available. And I don't know if that's why the police is sticking to he disguised himself, walked out to try and not be noticed, and just left. But his credit card, bank statements, phone, none of that was ever used afterwards. So
that's weird, because if somebody, the back door seems like the only logical thing, or like that back exit, but if it's a two-story up, or second story up, then that would, one, be hard to get a full-grown man down if you're taking him, and two, be like, to climb down whenever you're drunk.
Yeah, it's kind of like a fire escape thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know this. This case is so baffling.
I wonder if they did any fingerprints on the back door.
I don't know. Because surely, which the police does not give you everything they know.
Right.
But they are sticking to, I believe they still think he just left on his own. But if they have anything else, they're not talking about it. And they don't have enough to come up with any other circumstance. I do know, I read somewhere that, after Brian's dad died, a friend of his, the family, tried to help with the case, and he reached out to Clint's lawyer, and Clint's lawyer was like, it's not my client that's withholding information or causing heartache to the family. The police think that Brian just up and left, so it's him that needs to come forward. So I thought that was kind of strange, but
like it's Brian that needs to come forward?
Yeah, because he said that's what the police are saying.
So is that saying more than what anybody else has said, as in like the lawyer actually knows, like Clint told the lawyer that Brian did run away, or is that the lawyer speculating?
I don't know. I think it could be both ways. It could be the lawyer is just saying, hey, leave my client alone because the police are thinking this,
right.
Or that he knows more. I mean, we'll never know, I guess, unless somebody comes forward.
Clint, come forward.
Just kidding. Somebody come forward.
Somebody come forward, please.
So in 2019 and 2020, there was a picture of a homeless man in Tijuana, Mexico, that appeared to be similar to Brian that went viral. But FBI done facial recognition and determined it wasn't him. And then March of 2021, the Ohio Criminal Investigation released an age-progressed photo of Brian of what he would look like at that time, which he would have been 42.
He would have, whenever they did this face analysis.
Yeah. And now he would be 45. So
happy birthday.
Happy birthday on the 25th. If yes. You're out there, Brian, happy birthday.
Right. If you're listening, come forward and happy birthday.
And if you're not and you can't, somebody that knows something, come forward.
Right. Have his family have a good celebration of his birthday for him and figure out what happened to him, because that must be devastating, just not knowing.
Yeah. And it's only his brother left. Right. You know, his brother is the only one that's fighting for him.
Right.
So
is the girlfriend not doing it anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if she has went on. There's not a lot more talk.
I mean, she would have had to move on sometime, but still just like, I mean, she spent 5 months or more calling his phone. That has some deep
every
love.
Day. Yeah.
That, I mean, devastation is just.
And she never gave up.
Right.
So that's basically where the case stands today. On our Facebook page, we're going to have a discussion.
Yes.
So you guys let us know your thoughts and theories. What do you think, Ashley?
I don't think that he ran away. I think something more sinister might have happened, whether if it was an accident or if it was on purpose or what it was. But I don't think he would have ran away. And I guess it's always possible. I think if he did run away, it would have had to be some big secret of something to where it was too embarrassing that anybody could know.
So if something happened and it happened inside the bar, how did they get him out with nobody seeing? How do you get a dead body out with nobody seeing?
I don't think they would have gotten him out. I think depending on who it would have been, like if the theory of it was the place he did it, the ugly tuna. If it was those people who did it, and then, I mean, they wouldn't have to get him out. If it was...
What?
Well, they wouldn't have to get him out within that time frame.
Okay.
They could have gotten him out a little bit more sneakier to where... Because you said that the camera pans, right? It goes... It's not just in one spot all the time.
Yeah, they could have carried him out in something. And not been suspicious.
But. Right. So they could have been way more sneaky about it. Or they could have, if they're depending on if they were good at camera messing with back then they could have kind of tampered with the cameras. If that was a thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeeted them out the back window into the construction site and just hope for the best.
Hope nobody in that construction is paying attention to that dead body out there.
Right. Man, guys, I don't know where that body came from.
Yeah. So I think that's the interesting thing about this story and why I wanted to share it. Because there is so many thoughts out there. And I mean, so many what ifs, and nobody knows, you know, which is kind of just crazy.
Maybe they chopped up his body and flushed it down the toilet.
Oh my gosh, you are so morbid.
This is Dark Obsessions. This podcast is called Dark Obsessions. What do you want me to do?
Oh my gosh. You just chop up a body and flush it down the toilet. That's our t-shirt, Logan.
Just chop up a body and
flush it down the toilet.
Merch coming soon.
So, like I said, let us know your thoughts. See if you could agree with Ashley that chopping up a body and flushing it down the toilet. Just kidding. So let us know your thoughts and let's have a Facebook discussion on it. And I really hope you enjoyed our show today. So wherever you're listening to your podcast, make sure you hit subscribe,
comment,
and hit like and
share it. With your friends and family. And even if like it's somebody you hate or somebody that doesn't like you, then if they try to say anything, then just be like, you know what? I hope you have a lovely day and you should watch or listen to, I guess, Dark Obsessions.
Yes. If you guys have a case you want to have us look at, you can always let us know on Facebook.
Instagram.
Website.
Yes, our email and our phone number is on there.
Yes. So you can text us or email us. And then we've got some exciting news. So every month, once a month on a Friday, we are going to drop a bonus episode. Not going to know which Friday it is
until surprise.
It drops. Surprise. So keep a lookout. But we're going to drop a bonus episode that is going to be our monthly What the Frick Friday.
Yes, because we're going to, every other episode that we post is going to be on Monday, but our bonus episode is going to be on Friday as What the Frick Friday.
Yes. Why is it called What the Frick Friday?
Well, because it rhymes, one, because it was going to be called something else, but I like the combo of What the Frick Friday, it rhymed. And also because it's not a full episode and it's one of those cases to where it just keeps you wondering of like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What ran through their heads?
Yeah. It's that true crime that is like, what the frick?
Friday. No.
Just happened.
Just like this case that I'm sure we're going to talk about, to where mom called me and she just was like, Ashley, I have so many questions.
I still have so many questions.
Oh, yes. It is a true what the frick.
Yeah. So keep that in mind for our bonus episode once a month for our What the Frick Friday.
Also, if you guys can guess what one we're talking about, then you get brownie points.
Yeah, let us know.
We don't have anything to really give unless you want, like, maybe one of mom's Starbucks cups that she hoards, but...
No. Let's not go there. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next week where Ashley brings her episode.
Yay.
So you get to hear from her. Okay. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye, friends.